Good afternoon, good evening everybody, and welcome to the GAC GNSO Consultation Group call on the 18th of November 2014. On the call today we have Manal Ismail, Anna Nevis and Mason Cole. We have received apologies from Amel Sadeh, Suzanne Riddell, Abby Doria and Jonathan Robinson. And from staff we have Marika Koenigs, Olaf Nording, Gwenda Saint-Giry, Karine Percet and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Manal.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you, Mason and Anna, for joining, and of course, ICANN staff. Apologies for the late circulation of the agenda. I tried to circulate an agenda this morning, my time. And then I tried to elaborate it further when Marika has very helpfully sent the diagram she circulated a couple of hours ago. So first, allow me to ask whether anyone has any objection to the agenda or suggested additions or more pressing topics that we need to discuss. Okay, then I think we can start with our first agenda item, which is the quick look or the triage mechanism that we've been discussing this for quite some time now. So allow me first to start with wrapping some points, because I have the feeling that we keep discussing some points again and again, whereas I think some of these points are already agreed upon and we should mark those as such and progress forward. So, because I think if we agree to those, this might focus our discussion more on certain areas. First of all, my understanding is we're focusing our discussion on early engagement. And when we say early engagement, this means the very preliminary phase of the issues report. Again, later participation is always an option and remains an option. But our current discussion regarding the quick look mechanism or the triage group is concerned about the early phase, right? So, hearing no objections, I will continue on that basis, because I've been looking into the material we have, for example, the one-pager brief, and it has so many information that has to do with description of where the process is now, highlighting of which phase we are in, and things like that, which I don't think it currently applies to the early phase we're thinking about. So the other thing is that we're focusing on GAC input, because again, individual government's responses is always an option and will remain an option. But I think our target here is the GAC response. So any objections to this? Because again, I keep hearing that we can leave this to individual government's response. It's always there. We're trying to coordinate an overall GAC input that goes early into the process. And there is a need for early indication from the GAC whether the topic is of interest, and they will provide input, or it is of interest and they remain, they wish to remain informed, or it is not currently of interest. And again, we have agreed that changing this at a later stage, again, is an option. Of course, we will lose the advantage of getting input early into the process, but again, it remains an option. So it's not a cast in stone. Another point is that, again, there is need to prioritize and streamline input that is to be provided by the GAC to the GNSO. And I understand that this very early flagging thing should be quite quick, I believe, because I've not been on the previous call. I was going through the detailed minutes or action items that Marita very helpfully provided. And maybe I missed something, but I read in the minutes that this may be reflected in the communique and cannot be done intersessionally, and I'm not sure whether this has to do with the early flagging, whether the GAC is interested in a certain topic or later phases that has to do with the substantial input expected. So, Marika, please.
This is Marika. And just to reflect, I think, on what was discussed during last week's meeting, that I think it was particularly the view of Mark Carvel that he thought that even the quick look mechanism may not be able to be done between meetings, and that it was something that the GAC should consider during face-to-face meetings. And I think that was where I think some others, you know, raised questions whether that really couldn't be done as a, you know, on a mailing list or through calls between meetings, as I think as we tried to, you know, clarify as well, that the quick look mechanism is just a kind of flag raising issue. It's not intended to, you know, prepare detailed input or comments at that stage, although of course it could still be done if there's a desire to do so, but there seemed to be, and I think Mark had the view that may be something that would need to be considered during GAC face-to-face meetings. But again, I think it will be interesting to hear if other GAC members have the same perspective, whether just, you know, specifically the quick look mechanism is something that could be managed between meetings. And noting again, there's of course, you know, the timeline that aligns with, you know, when a preliminary issue report is published for public comment, the time frame that is with that, we may not necessarily align with face-to-face and depending on what is or what isn't possible, that may need to factor in as well at, you know, what time the notification to the GAC should happen to allow for that mechanism. And again, I think maybe at some stage looking at the flow chart, you know, once we come to a kind of common understanding on how that may look, maybe that will be the moment to start talking as well about timings and, you know, trying to get a sense of how long would the different steps in that process take, which may give a better sense than indeed, is that something that is manageable to do, you know, between meetings, looking at the work that is involved, or is it really something that, you know, can only be done, or at least the final decision that only can be done during GAC face-to-face meetings? And again, I think it's probably really something for the GAC to reflect on. And again, that may be, and I think, you know, per Suzanne's email, maybe that is one of the specific questions we may at the end of the day have, even after we fleshed out a kind of, you know, straw man or proposal, one of the concrete questions to put back to the GAC. Would people feel comfortable in taking decisions on a quick look in between meetings, or is that something that should really be reserved to face-to-face meetings, which could potentially then have an impact, of course, on the overall timeline?
Thank you, Marika. And yes, I definitely agree that this could be one of the questions that we take back to the GAC and come with a response. But I think at least we have to clarify this with the GAC members of this consultation group, because at least we have to go back to the GAC with something that we as members agree upon and proposing as one group. So maybe we can also have this discussion online, since we don't have neither Suzanne nor Mark on this call. And Anna, please feel free to share your views if you wish so. Again, my understanding is that also from the GNSO side, the GNSO may be flexible in terms of the timeline of a certain PDP. If they receive a timely indication that the GAC intends to provide some input. So, again, is my understanding right? So if the GAC indicates that it's interested in a certain topic and it intends to provide input, but maybe it needs more time, can this be accommodated through the PDP process, or will the PDP progress regardless? Anna, would you like to have the floor? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Manal. I was listening and thinking about what we have been doing since the beginning of all this process. And I do think that we are running in circles, but because I think that we have to identify a specific topic, as you just mentioned, I think, to work with, because without a specific example, without a specific topic, I think it's very difficult to engage the GAC colleagues and to understand what we are trying to do here and how things will run. So I think, well, at least what I feel from what we need from the GAC side is to have a specific topic and to see how we manage it with the GNSO and with Mason and etc. So to see how things work. And without a specific example, I don't think that we can do it. So it's my feeling. Thank you.
Thank you, Marika. Thank you, Anna. Sorry, and I can see Marika's hand, but I would like to respond very quickly first to Anna before giving the floor to Marika. I fully agree that we should also be having some pilot on the substance side, choose some topic and get to practice whatever mechanism we're going to propose. My only concern is that this will not address two things. First of all, the prioritization, because if we already choose a specific topic to engage upon, then we're already on a specific topic. So, and at this early stage, we wanted to really know how are we going to prioritize and whether this mechanism would work smoothly and we can fine-tune it as we go. I had something else to say, which I already forgot, so maybe I can give Marika the floor first, hoping that I remember. Marika, go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. This is Marika. It's more in relation to the commoner question on flexibility on the GNSO side. So in the GNSO PDP, there a couple of them are minimum time frames. So from that perspective, there is flexibility, you know, should more additional time be needed. I think the question is partly, you know, when would that time be needed? Because, for example, on, you know, if the publication of the preliminary issue report is the trigger for the GAC quick look mechanism, and you know, the question is, you know, does it make sense, or is there a need to hold up publication of the final report until the GAC, you know, provides its input? Because I think at that stage it's just a kind of flagging of whether there is GAC interest or not in the topic, which, you know, doesn't necessarily impact the issue of a report per se, as that is a, you know, a separate message or communication that could go to the GNSO Council as it, you know, takes its decision or considers the final issue report and decides on next steps. So I think that's maybe something to think about or consider. And again, it comes back to the question of, you know, how much time would the GAC need to you know, conduct or perform a quick look mechanism, and how does it align with the current time frame of going from a preliminary issue report to a final issue report, because you currently do have at a minimum, I think, 42 days in between that, which is the public comment period, and then there's usually some time that staff needs to review and absorb those comments before it produces a final issue report. So typically that is already, I would say, you know, a month and a half to 2 months time period there that would allow at least a triggering of the quick look mechanism. On you know, the other question, which I think, you know, is linked, and that's something I tried to do in the graphic as well, there should the GAC indicate that there are public policy considerations that may trigger a separate track on the GAC side where you may want to bring together people, or, you know, whatever it's done by the whole GAC. I think that's certainly for you to actually develop concrete input for the GNSO PDP working group. And I think, as I've explained before as well, the first step of a GNSO working group is at an early stage of its deliberations to actually reach out to GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as supporting organizations and advisory committees, to ask them to provide input on the topic that they will then consider as part of their deliberations. And the time frame that is typically set for that is a minimum of 35 days. And again, that is a minimum. And that we've seen as well in recent cases that some groups at that stage may come back and say, well, we need a little bit more. And in certain cases, the working group may say, okay, we'll wait considering all the input until we get yours as well. Or in certain cases, they may say, okay, that's fine. But in the meantime, we'll already start looking at some of the other input received, and, you know, we'll just deal with your input when we get it. So again, I think there is flexibility. I think, you know, the main point, I think, with all these issues and approaches is communication. I think as long as, you know, the GAC would be able to provide a kind of, you know, by this date, we'll be able to provide you this with this input, it allows for both the council as the manager of the process, but also the PDP working group to plan for that and, you know, hopefully may be able to accommodate if that requires more time based on you know, what they have as their work plan. So again, I think there's a lot of flexibility, but for, at least from my personal perspective, a lot of it comes down to communication and setting expectations by when information may be received so that everyone can plan accordingly.
Thank you, Marika. Before giving the floor to Olof, I just remembered the other thing I was going to respond to Anna. So the first thing is that this might not be able to test the prioritization thing. And the second thing is that, and I'm not sure, but we might not be able to find that PDP that is starting that early on the issues report phase. I mean, if we just pick one of the ongoing discussions, then again, this should be in a more advanced phase than the phase we're talking about, which is the issues report. Again, I'm not saying it's not useful. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I'm flagging that those two things might not be tested through this pilot. Olof, please go ahead.
Thank you, Manal, and this is Olof. Well, just a little thought from my side that I believe that the whether it can be done, a quick look mechanism, intersessionally or as a slower look, or whatever we like to call it, only at the face-to-face meetings, or perhaps a combination of the two, that seems to be, well, a little bit divisive issue, but probably because we haven't clarified the ambition level. We have a little framework saying that, okay, this doesn't preclude us coming back and such, but there's some degree of commitment to it, and perhaps it could be an idea to sort of develop the straw man proposal, and then keep this, whether it can be done partly or wholly, intersessionally, or only at a face-to-face meeting, as a discussion point for decision by the whole GAC, since we realize we have slightly different views coming from different GAC members here. Just a thought, and well, Yeah, well, that's really it. So that's a thought for your consideration.
Thank you, Olaf. And yes, it's definitely something we can take forward to the GAG and decide upon. But as I mentioned, if we keep the quick look mechanism only to work 3 times a year, I think this would slow the whole process down. So, because we are still going to be preparing the substantial input itself, so just flagging out that this is important or this is of less importance, I personally believe should be done on a more quicker pace. But again, as you mentioned, it's a collective view of the GAC, and it has to be we have to seek a GAC input on this. Marika, is this an old hand or a new one?
This is Rick. It's a new hand.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Marika. So triggered by you know, Olaf's comments as well as your comments, of course, there's as well, I think, maybe an alternative path that could be considered. While the mechanism is supposed to be, you know, quick, and as I said, you know, the idea is that there are 3 flags that, you know, can be pulled, and then maybe in most cases that can be done, you know, through a kind of email vote or non-objection kind of process. But maybe you just want to build in that if there is a need for further consideration, that, you know, that issue can be pulled out of the quick look mechanism and maybe go into a slow look mechanism, or at least put on the agenda for a face-to-face meeting. So maybe that is a kind of safeguard mechanism that you could build in to maybe reassure some of you know, those that believe this can only be done in face-to-face meetings, to at least allow for that option should people believe there is a need for that. That request can be made, and you know, it's probably for the GAC to think about, you know, what that would require. Is that one person saying they want to have this as a face-to-face discussion, and it automatically moves them to the agenda for that meeting, noting that, you know, will probably involve some delay in moving things forward, but that, you know, normally the default will be that it is indeed quick look, unless in exceptional circumstances there is, you know, a need to consider it at a face-to-face meeting. So I think, again, we may be able to come up with something that provides some safeguards for those that may have concerns if it would only be done, you know, with speed in mind and, you know, at the risk of you know, due consideration by everyone.
So, fair enough. And I think this is a practical way of satisfying all requests, and again, as you said, if someone really needs to discuss something in a face-to-face meeting, definitely this should be accommodated, hopefully on exceptional basis, but again, definitely it should be accommodated. I'll pause here if we don't if no one has any further comments on those points, we can proceed forward with the ideas we already have at hand right now. Olo?
Oh, yes. Thank you again, Manal, and sorry for not wrapping it up, my little comment to Olaf here. Well, the idea would be that we have a straw man and we punt the question on which parts can be done on quick look and face-to-face, intersessionally and at face-to-face, to something that we bring up for this discussion in Singapore. Because I believe that it depends a lot on what ambition levels and what commitments people see in it, and that probably needs discussing within the GAC, and that's probably a good discussion point for Singapore, I believe, rather than trying to bring it up intersessionally, if you know what I mean. So, well, that's just to conclude my remark. I forgot that little part. Thanks.
Thank you, Olaf. And yes, definitely we can take this, the discussion in Singapore. And now I think we had already a couple of proposals and suggestions. Mason has already very helpfully suggested that he might also flag any coming issues as early as it comes, and even before it even before the issues report goes out for public comments. So this is one helpful proposal we have. We can see how we can get use of this in the overall mechanism. Also, Suzanne suggested in an exchange that was forwarded to the list, I think earlier this morning, that there also should be some triggers on the GNSO side to trigger the need for GAC input on a certain issue. Some examples that she mentioned were anything related to international treaties that governments sign, or anything related to national laws. That those should trigger from the GNSO side that GAC input is needed here. And I think also earlier it was mentioned that maybe anything related to previous GAC advice. So if the discussion is on an issue where the GAC already have a standing advice on this, then this indicates the need for GAC input. So I'm not sure how this sounds to GNSO colleagues and whether they share the same or...
Manal, may I get in the queue? It's Mason.
I have to admit... Yes, Mason, please, go ahead.
I think those are fine. It would be... I'm sorry, it's Mason speaking. I think those ideas are fine. There may not be the ability for the GNSO to determine at an early phase whether or not an issue is subject to international treaty or international law, although I think we can probably make a pretty good guess. That said, the Council's preference may be, and I haven't talked to the Council about this, the Council's preference may be to inform the GAC about each issue it's working on, so that the GAC can make a determination itself whether or not an issue is appropriate for GAC involvement. That way there's no confusion about whether or not the GNSO's interpretation of an issue meets the criteria for the GAC to involve itself. I'm sure the Council is happy to try to make helpful suggestions, but I think we'd want to be careful about deciding for the GAC whether or not an issue is deserving of its attention.
Thank you, Mason. And I have to admit also that given that we agreed that every issue is going to be forwarded to the GAC to flag out its interest, I'm not sure how this trigger is going to work within this mechanism, unless it's intended at later stages, meaning that maybe we should not proceed further without receiving the GAC input, for example. But again, I wished we had Suzanne with us on the call to further discuss this, but... unfortunately, it's not. So we can try to fine-tune this online and maybe ultimately come up with a question that may be taken back to the GNSO, similar to the questions that we're taking back to the GAC. So Olof?
Thank you, Manal. Yes, Olof here. And just a thought, and well, one idea could be that, all right, we now have Mason preparing these, well, collecting what's happening in the GAC and providing us with that, and we have the one pages and such. But the very early indications, then, before it even reaches the one pages stage, which Mason talked about, I think it may be worthwhile at that point. So, well, the GAC support staff can actually help out a little bit on seeing whether we see an immediate association with any international treaties or such, to the extent that we know. I don't say that that would be fully covering and 100% reliable, but at least that could be an attempt to enhance, with the assistance of GAC support staff, what is conveyed to the GAC in that regard.
Thank you, Olof. And yes, I think this is a good suggestion and will be helpful. I have already also looked into the documents that Marika shared earlier. It's the GNSO issue report request form, which I think is quite concise and to the point and provides questions that might be helpful for a quick look mechanism. Because as I mentioned earlier, the one pager is more of a brief description of where we stand and the stage we're in. But if we're talking about something at a very early stage, I think something along the lines of the GNSO issue report request form, to me, it provides very good information. I'm not sure if everyone on the call has already had the chance to look into this, but again, I think it's a good starting point that maybe we can share and discuss the details and fine-tune to accommodate whatever the Shreya's group may need to prioritize the topics. I think it can also, should this be agreed, it can also we can also append on it whether this topic relates to international treaties that governments sign, or whether this issue relates to national laws, or whether there is a standing GAC advice on this issue. So I think what Suzanne was suggesting, should we agree this, may also be part of such a form that may be received by the trials group or within the quick look mechanism. I'm not sure how this sounds. And I'm not sure whether everyone had the chance to look into the form. So, do we have any reactions at this point in time? Thank you. Thank you. So, Marika, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. So basically, the GNSO issue report request form, which you see now up on the screen as well, and the intent of this document is really for anyone that wants to request an issue report, whether the GNSO council or jury committee or the board, that uses as much information as possible at the outset, I think both to help the GNSO council to understand, you know, the request that's being made and to evaluate that request, you know, is it suitable for, you know, if he has been already addressed in other work already ongoing looking into this, will help provide the staff as we embark on writing the issue report information as possible, but we'll start with that process. Of relevance as well to the GEC as it would consider this issue, you know, for example, indeed describe the issue, what, you know, what is the rationale for policy development, and, you know, what are the problems that have been identified that, you know, this request to develop policy development on this issue, the question on what affect concerned rights, and I guess there, you know, sort of lost maybe mentioned there as well. But maybe it would be helpful, like, if you go past, you know, mechanism to and forward to the GAC, if indeed...
Your voice is breaking.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
Marika?
Right, yes. Now it's good, but you...
I can hear
okay.
You good, I think, but it's breaking out. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, maybe the Skype connection. So let me just then wrap it up. But I think that, you know, that may be a specific question as well to the GAC. You know, which information would the GAC need in order, you know, to make a decision on a quick look mechanism? And a possible template like this, and I think we may want to discuss indeed who should be completing that template. I think in the flowchart I developed, I had assigned it as a kind of task for the GAC secretariat, but, you know, I think all have suggested it may also be something the GAC support staff could do. Again, I think from the GNSO policy staff side, you know, we're happy as well to, you know, provide as much information as we have available to assist in that effort. So maybe that is something we you know, we just need to talk through and better understand as well which information would the GAC need in order, you know, to take a decision, basically. And as I said, you know, maybe this template may serve as a starting point, but presumably there's different or other information that the GAC may need.
Thank you, Marika. And yes, as you said, this is again a second question that we can go back to the GAC with. But also maybe another question that may be posed to the GNSO is whether or how flexible is it that we add to this form something like, is there a standing GAC advice on this issue? Because, again, although it may be a GAC request, but it should be of interest to the GNSO, so... It's not enough that the GAC received this part of the information, but also to share it with the GNSO. I think this is the essence of it, that maybe it should be alerting to the GNSO that there is already a GAC advice on a certain issue that is currently going to be under discussion. So maybe this could be also... to the GNSO. Olof?
Yeah, thank you, Manal. Olof again. Well, it seems like, if I understand it right, this is to be filled out by the particular proposer within the GNSO or ALAC or even the GAC, as other ACs may provide an issue report request. But to be filled out by the requester. And of course, it's very convenient if the requester, him or herself, knows whether there is existing GAC advice. They probably wouldn't have a clue on that unless it's the GAC itself that requests. Perhaps they have an idea on whether there is some international treaty. And perhaps they have a notion of their own national law that may have some kind of incidence on the issue. But I think this is something that probably, Marika, you and I should have a close look up and come up with also some idea whether it's useful to expand this issue report request form or whether this is something that can be tossed between us. At the initial stage, in order to fulfill what Suzanne was asking for.
Thank you, Olaf. I have Marika, but before giving Marika the floor, yes, I understand that the requester is the one to fill the form, but again, he or she may dig such information easily, whether there is a standing GAG advice on this, either through ICANN staff or even through the online register of the GAG. So I think this information could be provided easily. So I have Marika and then Karin. Marika, go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. This is Marika. Yes, I think at least on the template, you know, the template itself was developed. I think it's part of the revised PDP, and it's you know something that the staff has developed based on some of the information we know needs to be covered in the issue report. You know, from my perspective, I don't think it would be a big issue to you know add something to that nature here. I do have to know that we haven't been very successful yet to get people to actually fill this out before they make a request. Often requests are made in you know, form of motion, so maybe you know as part of you know, if we make changes here, we maybe need to do a little bit more promotion and really get people to complete this as they request issue reports. And just triggered as well by Olaf's comment, I mean, you know, I think at least from our side or from the policy staff side, we normally try to include as much information as we can in the issue report. And if we are aware of GAC advice or specific issues that you know, relate to the GAC, we will definitely include those in the issue report. But as said, you know, we may not be aware of everything, so maybe you know, on the staff side, we could make more of an effort as well as we you know, send our drafts for review, because, of course, we do have internal reviews because, as you know, different departments they may have perspectives or provide input to a certain topic. Then we also include our GAC colleagues, so they also have an opportunity to flag if they are aware of any specific, you know, GAC documents or communiques or you know, principles that should be referenced or considered. So that may be you know, a kind of internal thing. We should maybe be more consistent in ensuring that we cover that aspect as well as part of the issue report.
Thank you, Marika. Karin?
Yes, thank you, Manal. This is Karin. I just wanted to note that there's an existing question in the form that could maybe be used to provide information, GAC-related information. It's the question number 7 on the economic impact of the issue, and it's if effects on competition, consumer trust, privacy, or other rights. So this question, this type of question, could perhaps be augmented to stretched out to wider possible public policy consideration. It doesn't have to be, at this stage, probably very specific, so it could be straightforward to identify possible public policy considerations at an earlier stage, including, of course, if the topic has been the subject of previous GAC advice or other topics that are widely understood as having public policy implications, for example, on privacy or other types of rights. So it looks like this current, my question, I guess, is could this existing question be used?
It occurred to me, but then I thought maybe we should leave the current questions as is because they are probably intended to provide certain information they are drafted to. And I don't think it's clear enough that any standing GAC advice should be listed here. So I'm not sure, but maybe putting this explicitly would better serve the purpose. But again, we can take this discussion online and back with our constituencies. As I'm mindful of the time, we have only 10 minutes left, so maybe we should be moving forward. So, Karin, do you want to come back on this?
No, that sounds great.
Okay. There was also the prioritization, the CCNSO prioritization process was also shared. It was brought to our attention again by Marika. And I was wondering the difference between the prioritization process versus the TRIAS working group role, meaning that what is it exactly that the staff do in terms of prioritizing issues before sending the template to the TRIAS group? And again, if we can have this up on the screen, it would be helpful for those who did not have the chance to see the document. Again, we don't necessarily have to answer this now, but Marika, if you want to address this, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. As I understand it, basically all the requests that the CCNSO receives come into the CCNSO secretariat. So they basically then flag that a request has been received and they complete a template, which I can check with my CCNSO colleagues if they can share that template. Because I think that probably just indeed, as I've suggested as well in the graphic I did, the kind of basic information that the triage committee would need, like, who has made the request, what is a specific request about, is it, request for input, request for participation, and presumably you could have, standard categories, because I think most of the requests fall under certain categories, at least within the ICANN world. So the basic information is included in the template, which it then sends to the triage committee. And basically, it's a small group. It's I think it's three members. It's as well, again, a very short time frame. So within 2 days, they're expected to agree on the proposed approach. So if they say, yes, it's something we should be doing, they inform the council and a drafting team is prepared to either provide input or response or whatever is being asked for. And if they recommend, no, we shouldn't do anything, they also inform the council. And the council then, passively approves, so I guess it's a non-objection kind of approach, the decision online within 2 working days. So their overall time frame looks like that they usually do that within a week. And as I said, I can ask them if they can share the template, so that may also provide some insight into what categories of information they include in that, and then could potentially be as well an other model for us to look at.
But if they receive multiple requests for input, do they do any prioritization? Or where is the prioritization done? Is this done by the triage group itself, or by the council, or by staff?
This is Marika. As I understand it, it's the triage committee that recommends, this is an issue we should be working on, and this is an issue, at this stage we shouldn't be working on. That is at least my understanding. And I said, Seeking is our colleague of mine, is actually at the meeting where I'm at, so I can have a chat with him about that. But that's my understanding of how they work. And then they have a public, and I think I shared the link as well for that, they have a public record of all the requests received and their response to those requests.
I also noted that the one pager for the GAC includes not only GNSO briefs, but also CCNSO, so probably there is some prioritization that needs to be done within the GAC itself, even if we have a joint mechanism with the GNSO. Again, some coordination needs to be done, I think, within the GAC to accommodate for GNSO and CCNSO PDPs. Olof, go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. Olof again. It's prioritization in the sense that the triage committee, like Marika says, well, they look at the current workload, and they look at the incoming requests, and they look at the proposal that's coming from the secretariat staff, and take a decision either following the secretariat's proposal or rejecting it. So it's a prioritization one by one, sort of piecemeal approach, not looking at all of the proposals at one point in time, but rather looking at the individual requests and proposals that come up, and they can address many different things. So, for the handling by the CCNSO, and so it's a wider matter than just for what we're looking for here, to have a prioritization among the GNSO matters. So a different, slightly different concept as far as I have understood it, but probably a useful model to have a look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Olaf. Yes, and thank you, Marika, for sharing the URL, the link in the chat room. I've also had a look on this, and it's interesting. So, again, mindful of time, I think maybe we can take the discussion on the very first draft Marika shared earlier or a couple of hours before the call, and we can discuss this maybe online and try to progress on it on the next call. Before we conclude this call, I would like to quickly again bring to your attention the preparations for Singapore. Although we sound a bit early, but I don't think it's that early because it's early in February, so we basically have December and January, and in December we already have holidays, so we need to be considerate of the time. This is one thing. We need to agree on what exactly we would like to share with the GAC and the GNSO. Suzanne again was suggesting that we could try a slightly different approach just to make sure we're consulting with our constituencies and engaging them in whatever decisions we reach. And not just reporting back to them every meeting. We already tried to do this the past two meetings. We had some concrete questions that we were seeking input on. But again, this is something that we can think for and discuss online and on the next call. And also, when exactly we would like to start sharing whatever we intend to discuss in Singapore. I think even if we don't receive comments online, again, it's very useful that we share this early before the meeting, and it kind of breaks the ice when people are more familiar with the documents or with the questions that we intend to discuss in Singapore. It makes the discussion in Singapore more fruitful, and we can expect some conclusions there. Thank you, Anna. I can see your check mark. Thank you. And finally, the schedule between now and Singapore. Again, I know we're competing with two very hot priority issues, the IANA transition and the ICANN accountability. I hope we can, if we share a calendar and fix the time early on, we can get better indication of the participation on the calls, and maybe we can try to fine-tune or adjust in order to ensure more participation on the calls. So I've noted that you have already agreed or confirmed our periodic calls every 2 weeks. I think it would be good to have the exact dates and maybe do like a poll on those dates. to get some indication of the attendance and, as I said, maybe accommodate that some may be busy and try to make it a day or a week earlier or later should we have no attendance in one of the calls. So can we do this call for, I mean, intersessionally between this call and next call, Marika? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. So just to confirm, you would like us to send with the notes the dates for the next meetings, which, until the end of the year, every 2 weeks, and then basically have a doodle poll so people can confirm for those dates whether they can make the call or not, so then the chairs can review whether we have critical mass to go ahead with those meetings or whether we need to consider rescheduling. Is that correct?
Perfect, yes.
All right, great.
Because we also have holidays, the Christmas holidays and the New Year holidays, and I'm sure we would leave those without calls. So we just need to know the exact dates of the calls and, as you mentioned, doodling it so that we can know there is a critical mass or not.
And so Manal, this is Marika. Would you like to plan it out?
Sorry, Marika, I can't hear you. Can you repeat, please?
My question is if you already want me to add the dates as well in January leading up to Singapore then as well at the same time, so we can confirm those two.
I think it would be helpful for us to plan between now and Singapore to have the whole thing. It's like 6 calls or something maximum, or maybe less. So, yes, if you can do this, it will be extremely helpful. So, if no one has anything to say, we can adjourn the call at this. And thank you all those who have joined the call. And I really hope we can keep the momentum and continue the discussion online and hopefully receive views and opinions from those who are not on the call too, so that we can keep the progress hopefully and have some fruitful discussions in Singapore. So thank you all. The meeting is adjourned and we can stop the recording. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal.
Thank you, Manal.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.